Hey, if you heard the Over Under podcast we did with Brasillo and House on Tuesday, you know that we love the Nuggets and the Bucks and the Kings. Well, FanDuel is doing a little parlay boost. Bucks to win 50 plus games, Nuggets to win 50 plus games, Kings to win 35 plus games. If you go to FanDuel, it has been boosted from plus 320 to plus 450. All three have to win. Go check it out. It's the Bill Simmons podcast presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filtered by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page in the Pulse and bet live same-game parlays for every NBA game. Download the app today. Bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode is supported by State Farm. If you've ever been in an accident and you're okay, but you know what happened, your first reaction is going to be, man, why did that happen? If you ever buy a new house or a new car or a new anything, there's this little rush you get when you're like, I did it. I made it happen. But really, the only words you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com. We're also brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network, our local sports podcast. Three of the cities are humming right now. We have Off the Pike with Brian Barrett. That's Boston. He covered the Pats today. New York, New York with John Jastrzemski. Yankees, Giants, Jets. All big weekends for them. And then the Ringers Philly special. Shio Kapadia and Benjamin Solak talking Eagles. They are 6-0. Also, we're covering the Philadelphia 76ers on that feed as well. And then last but not least in the standings, the Full Go with Jason Goff. Chicago sports, a little bit of a downturn with the Bears scene, but the Bulls are starting to look like a sneaky, everybody forgot about us team. So you can check out all those podcasts on the Ringer Podcast Network. Coming up on the Rewatchables on Monday night. I'm not on this one either, but we're doing a famous comedy from the 2000s. That's the only hint I'll give you. So stay tuned for that. I will be on the Prestige TV podcast at some point this week because I watched all 7 episodes of The Watcher on Netflix. I'll hold my thoughts. You'll have to hear me in the Prestige pod. Coming up on this feed, on this podcast, on this episode, the Cuz. Week 6, NFL. Guest Alliance. First, our friends from Pearl Jam. All right, our friend Cousin Sal is here. We're taping this a little after 8:30 on Sunday night. He just watched his Cowboys lose to the Eagles. The Eagles are down 6-0.
That sucked.
What? They are?
Yeah. Well, I looked this up because right now you would say, oh, after 6 weeks, Philadelphia, Buffalo, and then everyone else, right? That would be the Super Bowl pick. Uh-huh. I looked up my notes from after week 6 in 2021. Who do you think our two teams were that were the favorites after 6 weeks?
Last year at this time?
Yeah. I'll give you a hint. Neither of them made the Super Bowl.
Oh. Was it Cowboys and Patriots?
No. It was.
we're pretty high on our dumb teams back then.
It was Arizona and Buffalo.
Really?
I had my power poll that I did after week 6, and those were the co-favorites that I had after 6 weeks. My point is, it's freaking early. Philly fans, you look great. You got an easy schedule the rest of the way. You're probably going to be a one seed unless something terrible happens. But it's a long, long, long season. And we've been here before. With that said,
Are you sure we weren't forecasting the best and the worst team of 2022? Because that would make more sense with Buffalo and Arizona.
Yeah, I know. That's a weird one. Arizona was good to start the year last year.
I know.
I actually think this was a bigger game tonight for Philly than Dallas. What was your take as a Cowboys fan? Because you at least had the Dak's not out there. We play these guys again late in the season. And this is kind of a house money game. We're 6-point underdogs. Nobody's really expecting us to win, but they like our defense. But I felt Philly's at home. They kind of had to take care of business.
Well, yes. In general, this was more important, I thought, to Philly, even though they now have a 2.5 game lead over us. But 4-2 at this point without the starting quarterback, and Dak Prescott is the starting quarterback, for God's sakes. We saw enough, you know, Cooper Rush made a mad dash towards the end, but he also had a drive where any single pass could have been intercepted out of 7. So, and really, let's please put that to rest. I would have said before the game, it's Dak Prescott. Like, if you look at the metrics, he is a bottom 5 quarterback on passing downs, Cooper Rush. This has all been the defense. It's always been the defense. But yes, I was excited. Not excited, but I was like, yeah, this could be a throwaway game. I think we could play tough because of our defense. But if we're 4-2, fine, going into Detroit and Chicago before the bye, that's great. Except they came back and made me think that we had a shot, which always sucks.
There was a little Dick Tease run there when it got to 20-17. Yeah. And you had momentum. You run the ball. Lane Johnson's out. Collinsworth's doing the whole, Mike, they just have not been the same since Lane Johnson went out. They run the montage. And then Philly came right down and scored.
That was a great drive. I got to give Philly credit. That was a perfect, perfect drive. They just ran over, sliced their way all over us and scored on the Brown pass there. So, and then they missed the field goal. Everybody who has +6 and +7 loses on that missed field goal. So that sucked too. But otherwise, I'm happy with 4-2.
Well, you had a couple of funny things there. One is the Eagles are up 9. There's Diggs gets a penalty for whipping his helmet off, 15 yards, and Sirianni goes, you know what? Let's go for 2. Let's go up 11 instead of 10. It's like, what? Dude, you want to be up 2 scores anyway. Put that on the kickoff. Do some sort of high bloop kick. Try to pin him inside the 10. No, they go for 2. They don't get it. So now it's 9. And then instantly your mind goes to the line. And some people had this at 6 right during the week. And you think, oh,
the over-under. Over-under is 44.5.
Yeah, oh, good point. There. The Cowboys can do the thing where they go down, they kick the field goal, they cut it to within a touchdown, try the onside, which is exactly what happened, except he missed the 59-yarder. But yeah, Sirianni was just really messing with the Eagles things. I really like the Eagles tonight. I ended up kind of breaking even for the day because of the Bucs-Steelers game, which we'll talk about later. But I just felt like this was a pretty big spot. Like what you mentioned with Cooper Rush, even though he was playing well, if you really dug in on the stats, Warren Sharp did some stuff on this week about just like the yards per attempt. And it just,
I think
was
that's
a pretty
where
big
I stole
spot.
My stat from, by the way. I think I stole that from Warren Sharp. But
that's
fine.
We steal from Sharp all
I'm
the
sorry,
time.
Sorry, Sharp. Don't sue me. Or sue me. Let me go to jail already. I can't take watching these games anymore. But
The thing is, when you play this team again in week 16, they might have the 1 seed wrapped up at this point.
That's true. That's true. If it's anything like baseball playoffs, you don't need to win the division. You don't need to have the best record. But I was thinking just in general, like, I don't know that there are going to be too many teams with more than 11 wins or even 11 wins. The Eagles, like you mentioned, the Bills, like you mentioned. Would you lock in anyone else at 11 wins? They'll have the over-unders tomorrow because they do that. They're good about that. But I think we're looking at mostly 8, 9, 7, 10 win teams in the ranks of the 32.
Yeah, so I was looking at my notes last year, and there was definitely, like, we always call it the Super Bowl circle. Like, how many teams do you think could actually win the Super Bowl? Mm-hmm. And it's usually somewhere between, like, 6 and 8. And after week 6, we had 7 teams that I had written down. It was Arizona, Buffalo, Rams, Tampa, Dallas, Baltimore, and KC. So Cincy's not even in there.
Bengals
in that circle.
Not even. Yep. Yeah. I bet week 12 you wouldn't even had Cincinnati.
Right. The other team that wasn't in there was the Niners, who came really close to beating the Rams in that game. This year, I was looking at the circle. Philly, Buffalo. And then I'm going to ask you 2 questions here. One, who is the second best team in the NFC, in your opinion, right now?
Okay. I'm not going to answer that one. So what's the next one?
You should do that. Do the Biden. I have to answer? I'm not going to answer that. Yeah, let's go on to the next question.
The Eagles are the best. Who's the second best? I don't. Yeah. I hate every one of the Vikings' wins, but they're 5-1, and they're.
I can't put them second. I can't.
The other 5-1 is the Giants. I respect what they're doing.
You can't. Put
I still
them
say
second.
Are we talking about like right now or who we think is going to get there? Because I think the Rams will be the second best.
Oh
eventually.
No, the Rams?
I don't know
what
they play defense. At least
they just lost their left tackle today. They had their. Your Archie could probably start on the line for them this week.
Yeah, he's good. He probably could. Yeah.
Now, well, who is it? Who do you have? You don't have Tampa. You don't have Green Bay. You're going to tell me the Falcons? Who?
I wrote down Dallas and then Tampa. And Tampa just lost to Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky today. But I still think they're a safer bet than any other team in the NFC for that three spot. I think your team is the logical second best team. Just because they lost today, it doesn't mean they're not the second best team in the conference.
Wow.
Yeah, because you got Dak coming back. You got a good defense and you can run the ball. And I watched football today with the fantasy football guys from The Ringer, Danny and Craig and Mina Kimes and my friend Hershey. And we were just talking about...
Is that the first time you met those guys?
No, I've met those guys. We used to have an office.
Okay, all right. I'm just being a dick. Go ahead. Yeah.
we were talking about this new trend this year where they basically take away deep passes. Every team is just like, just gouge us to death. Mm-hmm. 4 yards, 5 yards, 6 yards, that's fine. We just don't want to give up 30. Right. And I do wonder if the teams, this is why I continue to be bullish on my Patriots. These teams with the running defense, ball control, game management recipe, this might be a good year for that. So
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. And I absolutely think that's the biggest factor or one of the big factors leading to the low scores or some of these quarterbacks not putting up numbers. Like, but why can't the smartest quarterbacks figure that out? Why can't Stafford? Why can't Brady? Why can't Rodgers? Why is it Mariota profiting off of that new, whatever? Why is it like Matt Ryan close to 400 yards? It just, that stuff doesn't make sense to me. Why the Rodgers can't adapt to the new system is beyond.
Well,
me.
Let's go one at a time.
Go ahead.
Rodgers' receivers, he's clearly not comfortable. Like I was looking at, looking at their stats. They don't have a receiver of 300 yards yet. They played six games. Mm-hmm. They've scored 14 points or less in three of the six. There was some stat about how he's never had this few kind of scoring points the whole thing through six games. I just don't think he trusts his receivers yet, whether it's going to happen. The one thing is it doesn't seem like Watson's going to help them this year. I mean, Watson has like seven catches for like 50 yards this year.
I think you're right about all of it. Like, Dobbs and all these guys who show, flashes of, I don't even want to say brilliance, but what gets me is Rodgers, does he care? Kyle, put the TikTok camera on.
Kyle,
Turn it on. Because I don't know if he cares, or maybe ayahuasca is this wonder drug that just mellows you out to no end, because I don't think he cares. I mean, that's obviously the thing here, that he doesn't have pass catchers he can rely on. But he's not screaming at his offensive line like Tom Brady is. And he's like, oh, well, all right, we can't score in London. We can't score in Lambeau. We're losing to the Giants and Jets. These are all very embarrassing things, but it doesn't seem to matter to him. Why is he so mellow?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's easing his way into the year. Well, they lost Cobb today, too, who is
right
his little safety blanket. So we've lost Randall Cobb, Julio Jones, I guess we've lost. AJ Green, we're about to lose. All of these older receivers it's like old receivers and pass rushers. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, the Bucs signed Julio Jones. Whoa. And it's like these guys can never make it for 4 months. I think with
maybe that's why the Rams are reluctant to give, back up the truck for Odell Beckham, but they need something.
All the quarterbacks you mentioned, Rodgers, I think it's his receivers. Mm-hmm. Stafford, they have the worst running backs probably out of the 32 teams. I mean, now it looks like Cam Akers is never going to play for them again. They were mixing up Daryl Henderson, Malcolm Brown, some dude named Rivers from the practice squad. All of them look like below average. You would never pick any of them up in a fantasy league. But then the offensive line has been decimated. Like, they just keep losing guys. And I don't think that Carolina team, you got Robbie Anderson fighting with his coaches at the side. They basically sent him home, Antonio Brown style. Yeah, we'll never see him again. Now the Panthers, I think, will probably be a sell team. But yeah, so the Rams, the offensive line, and then Brady, combo of, it doesn't seem like he's had enough reps with the receivers yet. The line, as we saw with him screaming at them during the timeout, I don't think he wants to get hit anymore. And I feel like the Rodgers thing and the Brady thing is similar. Both of these guys, I don't know whether they're kind of saving it for the last half of the season, but just eye test, he's getting rid of the ball, I would say, a half to a full second faster than he needs to. He's not holding it for that extra, I'm going to get killed, but I'm going to wait. Yeah. He's just not. He's just getting rid of it. and he doesn't look like Brady. And I think he's getting frustrated at everybody else, but he doesn't practice on Wednesdays. Fucking went to Bob Kraft's wedding on Wednesday, on Friday night in New York City.
I didn't think he wanted to do that either.
Game on Sunday.
Right.
Why is he in New York City on Friday night? That's insane. He's supposed to be the leader of the team. He's got all the rules are different for him. He missed preseason for 10 days. Like football is supposed to be this team sport where everybody's on the same side. Nobody's bigger than the team. He's acted like he's bigger than the team for 10 months. He got his coach fired. All the shit he's doing. Like, I think it's an embarrassing year for him. I really do.
Well, it's one thing. Yeah, I think it is too. And it's one thing to leave your team in the preseason, and then that just pisses off potentially some of your teammates. But to skip a skip the walkthrough on Saturday, and then the Steelers find out about this, now you're giving other teams bulletin board material, right? So now you're pissing off everybody. This is an embarrassment. Yeah.
You know who wasn't at Bob Kraft's wedding on Friday night? Bailey fucking Zappi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know where he was? In his hotel room studying for the Browns.
Stop it.
That's
Stop
the next this. Tom Brady right there.
Stop this.
Yeah. 2001 Tom Brady's in his hotel room studying for the Browns.
This is crazy talk.
I'm just telling you.
It's fine.
I don't think... Who do you think regrets more, Brady just coming back or Rodgers loading up with this giant Green Bay contract that now made them trade Adams and now his team clearly doesn't have it?
Well, I'll do you one better. Are we sure either one of those was ever good, Brady or Rodgers?
Maybe I took it too far. All right, no.
I think Rodgers right now regrets it, but I think Brady, I'm trying to think of, it's funny because I was thinking, what if he went to the Dolphins? Now, they've had four quarterbacks hurt in four consecutive weeks, which is just unheard of. The starter goes out. But I think he's bummed he came back to Tampa Bay after all that.
I think he is too.
Miami. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he is too. I think there's real regret. He's got a lot of personal life shit going. And the irony of the whole thing is Tampa is probably either the second or third best team in the NFC. And as we see year after year, it matters where you are around Thanksgiving. It doesn't really matter where you are now. Where it does matter is our wallets, because you and I had the Bucks, and rightfully so, just thrown into parlays and teasers. It's like, all right, they actually need to win the game. They're favored by 10 against this decimated Steelers team who's playing Pickett. Then we get the gift of Pickett gets hurt during the game.
Not a gift. We opened it up. Mitch comes in. Yeah.
Yeah, Mitch comes in. Mitch is completing 3rd and 14s over the middle. He's throwing dimes to Chase Claypool to extend drives. He's running around. It's like, what the hell is going on? I'm going to lose to Mitch Trubisky? I did.
And they killed the clock, and the Steelers had like three important, forget about Watt, he's out, but three other like important players out, you know, Fitzpatrick and others. And that's what I thought. I was like, all right, Tampa's offense is going to get right again. No, never happened. I mean, really, when you look at it, like Stafford didn't, they ended up winning because Panthers can't play four quarters of football. But, you know, when Stafford, Brady, and Rodgers can't put up a touchdown in the first half of either of their games. I was looking at these numbers here. Look at these winning numbers. Geno Smith, 197 yards. Kirk Cousins, 175. Daniel Jones, 173. Jalen Hurts, 155. 155. I think they had like 268 yards of offense. Trubisky, 144. Mariota, 129. Zach Wilson, 110. These are all winners today.
I know. And I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that QB stuff after the break, because I think it's absolutely
crucial.
Carson
Wentz, 99.
To try to understand the season, you almost have to look through the quarterbacks. I think the thing that is the most shocking to me, because Solak and I did a whole thing about like the end of a QB generation on Thursday's pod, where we're talking about Brady, Rodgers. You see the finish line now with these guys. Stafford, you can kind of see it. Matt Ryan, he's over the finish line. You go through everybody. We're moving to this new era. Matt Ryan played the best of anybody today. Matt Ryan was awesome in the Jacksonville game. There was another one I lost where he reached back. Matt Ryan played better than Rodgers, Brady, or Stafford. And I did not expect it either. Let's take a quick break, and then I want to talk more about the quarterbacks. This episode is brought to you by Simply Safe. Whenever someone mentions spring, you can't help but think of the word fresh. Spring brings fresh air, fresh beginnings, freshly cleaned homes. It's also a really great time to take a fresh look at SimpliSafe Home Security. I use it in my home and absolutely love it. By the way, summer's coming. No better time to maybe dip in to our friends at SimpliSafe than when you're leaving your house, your condo, your apartment, wherever you live, you're probably going to go somewhere for a while. Maybe it's a week, maybe it's 2 weeks. Guess who's going to know that? Burglars. SimpliSafe, great, because it protects your whole home. Uses advanced sensors and a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras. Keep watch over your property day and night, 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. You can even check it out on your phone. Gives you peace of mind. You want peace of mind? Try SimpliSafe today. Risk-free, no contract, 60-day money-back guarantee. Get 20% off your system when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplisafe.com/BS. That's simplisafe.com with two I's, simplisafe.com/BS. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer partner of the NBA. It's just what you need to sit back and enjoy the game. And they're also getting fans closer to the game than ever. You can win exclusive NBA prizes like courtside seats, signed memorabilia, and more. I love Michelob because of how light it is. It's only 95 calories with 2.6 carbs. You know what the perfect time for Michelob Ultra is? A little doubleheader, a little NBA doubleheader. Right, first half of the first game. I don't know, West Coast time, that's usually about 5 o'clock, 5:30, perfect time for a beer. You can do it. Grab a pack to enjoy today. Learn more and enter for your chance to win at MichelobUltra.com/courtside, LDA, 21 and up. Okay, so you mentioned this before the break. Quarterbacks who won today, Mariota, Zappe, Geno, Dimes, washed Matt Ryan, and we had a Pickett-Trubisky combo. We had four upsets. The Giants were plus 200, Jets plus 280, Falcons plus 175, Steelers plus 360. Mm-hmm. One of the old things you could always bank on was you can always bet against bad QBs. It's fine.
Right.
Like, you know, a good team against a bad QB, throw them in a tease, throw them in a parlay. Don't worry about it. I think it's over. I don't think there's any rhyme or reason to this anymore. Mariota was like, what was he like, 13 out of 14 a day completions?
Yeah.
Game well, managed you can't, the you can't, shit
you
out
can't
of it.
Find the bad QB is the problem. They're all about the same, right? I mean, the bad QB is Aaron Rodgers, and QB is, I don't know. All right. You want to say PJ Walker? That's fine. Even he was 10 for 16. But yeah, these numbers are insane. You're right. What was Mariota? 13 for 14? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I think he was.
And Trevor Lawrence was 20 for 22, but they lost. There was some really weird numbers on the board.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence, that's a team. So my fear, I really liked the Jags today. And my fear was the coaching, where the Colts just have the tendency to pull shit out of their assholes. Mm. And the Jaguars had this tendency to just shoot themselves in the foot, right? So their Jags are in control for 2.5 quarters. It's like fourth and one. Of course, they're going to go for it because Peterson is classic. Oh, we got to go. We're aggressive. Aggressive analytics. He's a practitioner. Right. And they run the option with Lawrence. Mm-hmm. They run an actual college option play, which of course gets stuffed. The game flips. Ryan gets hot. And all of a sudden, they lose to the Jags. We see this over and over again with these dumbass calls, that this pseudo-aggressiveness that over and over again just backfires on these teams. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Like the Cardinals today, they passed up field goals twice. It's, oh, fourth and four. Got Kyler. Wow. Oh. And it's 9-3 instead of 9-9. It's like, well, how did that work out for you? And why do you trust your completely erratic quarterback on any fourth and four? I don't trust him to get 4 yards ever.
They're so bad. And I know their running game is not anything special now with Connor, and maybe it was smoke and mirrors with him anyway, but I don't. And new Hopkins comes back next week. I don't even think it matters. I don't think, you know, they'll play tough against teams, but there's going to be every 2 or 3 weeks, they're going to play, put up a stinker like they did at Seattle there. And Kyler's going to be no help. And we got sacked 6 times. Like couldn't, and some weren't even his fault. It's crazy.
They're 2-4 for the season. They're minus 28 in the first half. They have not led in a single first half this season at the end, at halftime. They're 0 for 6. They, in the first halves this year, one touchdown, 29 points. That was one of my bets this week. Seattle first half plus 0.5. So why not bet against Arizona every single first half until they figure it out?
Smart. Betting the AFC South, dumb. But betting Seattle plus a half, smart. I think they're good.
The combo of... you get slaughtered in the Rams playoff game, right? That was about as bad, disjointed, disorienting, name a sad word. It just couldn't have gone worse. And you come out of that game, and my questions were like, wait, what's going on with Kyler Murray? Is this somebody I can actually win playoff games with? And what's going on with Cliff Kingsbury? Is this a coach you can actually win with 2 years in a row? They just go, you know, nosedive. What do? They give Cliff an extension and they give Kyler a massive contract. And now it's like on Twitter, it was fire Cliff was trending. Kyler's talented. I don't know if that guy's ever going to be somebody that wins like three playoff games in a row. I think he's really, really, really erratic. So I don't know if you're a Cardinals fan, you don't even have really any outs. You could fire Kingsbury, but...
You can fire him because that's the one thing that the Matt Rhule thing proved, right? And we've seen it before. Like they said goodbye to $42 million. It doesn't count against your cap if you fire a coach, right? So you just have these billionaire owners like, all right, well, I want to win. I don't want to be saddled with this guy. He's not counting against my cap. I'm going to get rid of Kingsbury, even though I gave him a 4-year extension. Because one thing that's obvious is he's not getting the most out of Kyler Murray. He just isn't at this point, right?
How about game planning? When you go into halftime losing six games in a row, that has to mean something.
Yeah. He's got that gigantic board, that laminated board in front of him. It looks like a poster board you'd bring to school in like sixth grade, you know, to put your project on the ink and ruins on or something. And yet there's not a play in there that works. The only thing that works is the improvising by Kyler Murray. I know that word somewhere.
Yeah, I was thinking of the panic teams. So Green Bay, 3-3. We talked about them. Arizona's 2-4. These are teams that I think at least some to most people thought were going to be good. Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay, 3-3. And then Kansas City, I'm throwing in there 4-2, only because I think this was a really bad week for them. And we didn't talk about the Bills game yet.
Hmm.
They should have lost the Vegas game. They had a lot of trouble covering Vegas. I thought Vegas shot themselves in the foot. That was another weird coaching game. But for the most part, I thought Vegas outplayed them. And I thought talent-wise, we're at least even with them and maybe been a tiny bit better. So
when you say Vegas shot themselves in the foot, I have to scroll through the team news because, I mean, that could be right. Right, true. Like, I have no idea what they're playing.
Yeah, I didn't mean that literally. I mean, hypothetically. Right. But then this Buffalo game just felt like, I know that the final score was close, but I didn't think Buffalo played well and they just made plays when they needed to. But I never really doubted that Buffalo was going to make a run there. And I like where they are compared to KC. That was my takeaway.
Compared to Buffalo, you mean?
I think if they played, if they played 10 times, I think Buffalo wins 8.
I agree. But this is one of the teams I'm talking about where I don't think they get to 11 or 12 wins. Like, I'm not sure who does, right? So you got the Bills, who we say should run away with everything, even though you at dinner the other day tried to convince me that there's a sprained ankle away the Patriots are from winning.
I said
the division.
Pat's 24-1 in the AFC East. Was that wrong?
Yeah, you're
Is
wrong.
That wrong?
Yeah, they're going to lose. If you want to lose money, that's fine. But you're
24-1? That's like the all-time long shot.
Is it still 24? It's good.
I'll look at it now. Yeah. Keep talking.
All right. No, I don't have much to say other than I don't think I put them in the panic because they're going to win that division at 10-7. I mean, the Chargers don't impress me. Broncos are garbage, and the Raiders, who I think are good, can't get out of their own way. So they're not going to get to 8, 9, 10 wins. So I think the Chiefs could, Andy Reid could kind of like lay off the gas a little and still go 10-7 and take this.
Pats are down to 17-1, just for the record.
Hmm.
Here's where I would push back on my 20-year friend Cousin Sal.
Okay.
Something's different about the Chiefs, and how I knew it was, when they got the ball back with like 1:10 left, I didn't think they were going to score. And I just felt like it's too many yards. It's not enough time. And Kelsey's the only guy on this team that I actually trust. And you could double team him and make them move down the field. And I don't think the Chiefs can do it. We had for 3 straight years, when the Chiefs were down in any game, you would text me and House and Hench and you'd be like, Chiefs plus 130. You know, like what, we always felt like they were coming back. They had a real identity. I supported the Tyreek trade. I got it. I thought it was something. I don't think you can pay Mahomes and Tyreek that much money together. I get it. I got the philosophy behind it. I was in. I picked the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. I thought push comes to shove. Mahomes is so great. He'll make everything work. But then it's like you look at Sky Moore going over the middle and he's late and Mahomes' pass is late and there's 2 guys there. And it's just like that shit wasn't happening last year. So I would be concerned if I'm a Chiefs fan.
But only against the Bills, right? You'd be concerned down three with a minute and a half left against anyone else, down four.
Like, well, last week against Vegas, they Vegas fucks up. They go for two.
Yeah.
Because of aggressive analytics, the new trend in the world. And Casey gets the ball back, and it's like, all right, two first downs, this game over. What happened? Three and out. They punted. It's not the same offense.
See, that's now, where you and I disagree, because they're just killing it. They've always had a tough run time running the ball, whether it's McKinnon or Clyde Edwards-Helaire or whatever. But they were down one, so they didn't need the first down. But I don't know. He had 338 yards passing. He had second most passing yards in the league today.
That's fine. Did you think he was going to score?
No, but only minute because 20 left.
Do you think he was going to get it?
No, but because it was the Bills. Any other team, I would say I wouldn't panic, because I would think they'd be a favorite to score.
One of the things with the Tyreek thing, and this was the narrative we were fed the whole offseason, was they were going to be able to run the ball, control the clock, mm-hmm. more play action. It was going to open up more of the offense. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I just, whatever we were promised in the offseason.
They're middle of the pack. They're like 16th in the run game. We change our mind on the Chiefs three times a year. And then at the end of the year, they're like 11-5 or 12-6.
Well, remember their record last year? They're 3-4 after seven games last year. I think what worries me this year is it feels like if you can actually just double Kelce and take him out, I'm not positive what plan B is.
Maybe.
I guess I'm more concerned than you are. With Green Bay, I'm not writing them off yet, because maybe the receivers thing will get better. I still kind of like their defense, but that Jets game was to lose to the Giants and the Jets back, that feels like a cry for help. Like, when was the last time anyone lost to those two teams in a row?
I was going to take that stance, but the Jets are better than them. They are. The Jets are better than the Packers.
Yeah, they did some of
that
more talent. I agree with
you. Almost everywhere, right? Defensively, harder hitters. They get to the ball faster. They have a great run game. All right. Well, Zach Wilson, I don't know. Maybe that's a wash at this point. Zach Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, even though he's just hovering around 100 yards.
Zach
passing.
Wilson was bad in that game.
Yeah, it was 10 of 18. Yeah, he wasn't that good, but he didn't need to be. That's the offense that Rodgers needs, right?
Mm. Breece Hall looks like they hit jackpot with that.
Yep.
It's like, in general, it looks like they nailed the draft. Mm-hmm. New York football is now 9-3. The Giants game, they come back from, what were they, 10 down?
Yeah.
Like, I would have thought if the Giants were one of those teams, like, as long as it's a 3-point game or they have the lead, they're fine. If they're behind, no way. Well, we learned that wasn't true. Saquon comes out of the game, his shoulder's dangling. It's like, oh man, all right, here we go. Saquon's up. Nope, comes back in. They get a touchdown. They harass Lamar. It was a nice little revenge game for Wink Martindale. Right. That team's frisky, man. You look at their schedule, and it really seems like 11-6 is possible, which is nuts.
I took them. Well, here's the one thing. We'll go over the lines in a second. 11-6 is possible. I had them like 8-9 before the year. I was a believer in the Giants. But there's also, they could lose every single game. And I'm surprised by their line. We'll go over it in a second. But they could lose every single game, but definitely some cupcakes on there. 5-1. This team's 5-1.
You know who they remind me of is what Tennessee did last year. Where it mm-hmm. didn't totally make sense. You felt like every week they were going to lose. They were built around their running back and the kind of the running game, the whole thing. And then Henry goes out and they kind of kept it going and it didn't really make a lot of sense. But they're around. They're really well coached. And I would say being well coached is a bigger advantage than maybe it's ever been these days. I think that's been one of the things with the Patriots too. The Patriots, I told you the Green Bay game 2 weeks ago, I told you I thought I saw something in that game.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Detroit last week. Whatever, it's Detroit. This week, they beat the hell out of Cleveland. And now people are going, yeah, but it's Cleveland. It's like, now Cleveland was A, favored. B, the one thing they could do is run the ball really well. The Pats shut that down completely. They made plays. Their defense is really fast. And Ramondre has emerged. I mean, he's one of the best running backs on the TVs every week. He really is.
You know, I have him on my fantasy team if you'd like to trade for him.
I tried. Yeah, tried. Well, you wanted him for Chase, for Ramondre and Waddle, which I think would have been a good... But Chase went nuts today. I'm glad I didn't
do it. Now it's... who's your other good receiver?
Well, Justin Jefferson. I'm not... I can't trade him.
Yeah. No, listen, I was going to make that trade, but then you traded... Then you were going to give me AJ Smith, right? Or AJ Brown.
I was going to give you Devonta Smith, yeah.
Devontae Smith? Oh, Devontae. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to root for
him. And honestly, though,
I was going to make the trade. To be dead honest with you, I was going to make the trade. And then we went to dinner and we're at a steakhouse and it came time to order dessert and everyone did the thing like, oh, no, no, I'm not getting dessert. And like someone broke me and said, oh, let's just get one of each. And then you're like, no, 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 I'm getting my own dessert. Banana cream pie. I was like, no, let's just split three. You're like, no, I don't want to split. It's a steakhouse. You split dessert. So you were very
selfish. I split
selfish.
My dessert.
And then I didn't make the trade. I didn't make the trade. No, you saw how big it was, and you're like, you know what? You could have some of this after. I was like, no, I think no, it's, thanks.
My hot take is it's gross to split desserts. What?
Not dessert. I didn't want some of your steak. We're at a steakhouse. It's the end of the night. You get desserts, and you get a taste of everybody.
Yeah, but it's like everyone's got their spit all over their spoons. They're putting the spoons back in. All the spoons are touching. We might as well make out.
You know what? I made out with Ramondre this weekend, and you didn't. He's on my team.
Hey, it's great. My team's good, Sal. I'm telling you. They hit this draft, this 2022 draft, combined with getting Mack and Ramondre and Barmore in the last draft. Like, this is what has not happened for this team in years, where they just actually hit two drafts. They got two cornerbacks. They got Zappe, who at the very least is, you know, a competent quarterback. Tyquan Thornton, did you see him today? He finally unleashed him. He was really good. And then Cole Strange, everybody made fun of him. And that guy's out there just blocking everybody. I think this Pats team is good. I think Belichick knows it too.
What happens? Old school confidence
with him again.
Is it Zappe Hour when Mac comes back or no?
Kyle, turn the camera on.
Turn it off. What are you going to do about this?
I think Zappy's good. I think he's legit good. With that said, if they had used Mac the way they're using Zappe now, and Mac had allowed that to happen, I think Mac would have been just as good. The key is, how do you get Mac to game manage like what Zappe's doing? Put him in positions to succeed, not be Joe Burrow, but just keep the game fucking moving. Throw to your tight ends, throw little screens, and don't make mistakes. Mac killed us. He cost them two wins in the first 3 weeks. Zappe doesn't make mistakes. And I'll tell you this, like, if Belichick feels like Mac isn't going to, you know, game manage and not make mistakes, and like that's not the number one priority, he'll keep playing Zappe. He doesn't care. See, he benched Bledsoe right after a $100 million contract. He doesn't care. He's going to do whatever is best for the team. I think it's going to be Mac.
Because this would be the exact conversation I would have with a fellow Cowboys fans about before tonight's game about Mac Jones and about Cooper Rush.
Yeah.
And Dak Prescott. I would say, Cooper Rush doesn't make mistakes and we have a great defense and that's all that matters. Like
at some point,
right. But what does it matter? Like Cooper Rush had like 111 yards passing. If you carry a rabbit's foot and you don't do anything else, but this rabbit's foot is good luck. Do you leave it in just because you have good luck? Or do you just go with the pedigree quarterback who, you know, could take you further?
Yeah. That's why
you have to put Mac Jones in.
So I agree with you, but Zappe was really good the last 2 weeks.
All right.
And he had poise. The bigger thing for me is the poise. It's like a couple weeks ago, I asked Rosillo and Van, we were texting about college football because I know nothing about college football. And I was like, I don't get this Bryce Young thing. He seems too small to me. I don't see it. Like, how is this guy going to be number one pick? He seems even smaller than Kyler. I don't get it. And Rosillo said, watch his poise. When you watch Alabama, just watch how fucking calm he is. And no matter what the situation is, he's the calmest guy. So I watched that and I was like, after I watched enough of it and I watched the game Saturday too, it's like, I get it. The poise, that's the most important thing.
He took Zappe, 75 hits and still had a good shot to win the game.
Zappe has poise and he does make throws and he is accurate. And I think he's pretty good. So at the worst case scenario, at least he's an asset. But I do think it's going to be Mac's job. I will tell you this, though. In Boston, like my dad's already, he's out. He's like, it's Zappe time. Wow. Send Mac packing. Trade him to Carolina. he's ready to turn the team over. I still like Mac, and I think they made it too complicated for him.
Yeah. Kyle, will you do me a favor and isolate the audio where sports guy says, Zappe has poise? And we may never use it again, but I do think it could be fun down the road at some point.
Such a dick. let's take a break. This episode is brought to you by LinkedIn. Closing the deal can be a real challenge sometimes. Like, remember when the Celtics, once upon a time, could have traded Kevin McHale for Sam Perkins and Detlef Schrempf to Dallas? It became a big what if because it would have made the Celtics younger, it would have made them better, but they also would have broken up the big three. They would have broken up Bird and Parrish and McHale. So would we have won the title if we did that trade? Probably not. I'm kind of glad they kept Kevin McHale, but you know, we lost out on a chance to really get younger. You know, another place where it could be a struggle to get a win, not just with trades, B2B selling. But luckily, you can use LinkedIn Sales Navigator. It's a sales intelligence platform that helps you target the right customers to drive revenue and grow your business so you can start selling like a superstar. Maybe Detlef Schrempf would have become a superstar in the Celtics. We'll never know. Try LinkedIn Sales Navigator now with a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/Bill Simmons. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else. All right, before we do week 7 lines, I have the unconventional winners of 2022 for you. So far, through 6 weeks.
Oh, let's hear
this
it.
This is not like Josh Allen. I'm giving you randos.
Mm-hmm.
Ramondre Stevenson, we mentioned him. This, Belichick has not used a running back like this since Corey Dillon. Where he's just like, here are the car keys, take us home. But this has not happened in 18 years. Ramondre has been absolutely incredible this season. He's a winner. Fourth round pick, plus if you have him on your fantasy team, that's like a flip. That's a flip the fantasy season guy.
Yeah, it is.
Daboll is an absolute winner this season. Mm-hmm. When you think like all these crappy coaches that get hired, this guy has completely changed not only what we're seeing on the field, but the demeanor of the Giants. They show him the sidelines. He seems like somebody that would be friends with Brother Brian, Harry, and Darren.
Yes.
Doesn't he?
Yeah,
he'd be wearing like a Giants windbreaker and eating like a 64-ounce veal chop.
Exactly. Yeah.
But that's the best.
He'd probably share his dessert. I guarantee he'd share his dessert.
Geno Smith, age 32,
mm-hmm.
who's now better than Russell Wilson and is super competent week after week and keeps game managing games. I have him as a winner. Roseman, the Eagles GM. They win the Super Bowl, and 4 years later, all of a sudden, he has this super talented team again. Impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Washed up Matt Ryan. I had the shovel in the dirt for him, and that guy said 3 comeback wins. 2 of them were dubious, but they counted. Mm-hmm. And then today was a legitimate one, and it really does seem like his team believes in him. And he's like, I'm just throwing to Pittman every time. Are you going to cover him? You're not? I'm going to throw to him again. And they're 3-2-1. They looked like they were dead in the AFC South, but at least he's better than Wentz. So that was a winner. Billionaire Arthur Smith, 6-0 against the spread. Did you see that?
And in first place. Tied for first place. Right?
Yeah. So I had Carolina as the, I think that's going to be the fucked up team that makes the playoffs. It looks like it's going to be Atlanta.
Yeah.
Or the Could Giants. Be. I guess maybe we'll have two. Matt Patricia took an incredible amount of shit this whole offseason. Oh my God, this moron's guy. I even said it. This moron's going to be our offensive coordinator. The game plan they ran today was great. He deserves praise. And then last but not least for unconventional winners, Jets fans.
I was just going to say, you got to give the Jets something. Yeah.
Yeah. Multiple Jets fans emailed me today. Like, we killed the draft. Like, when was the last time Jets fans were excited about how they did in a draft and who's on their team and the fact that they actually have talent? I guess the message is if you draft in the top 10 for 7 straight years, you're going to end up with some talent.
Yeah,
but
when you have 2 have picks in the top 12, yeah, for sure. Yeah. But you're one of them is probably going to be running away with a cheesehead after a game at some point. Yeah. Yeah, Sauce is good. I don't know if I'd add anyone to that. Maybe Daniel Snyder. He seems to win. I think he's got the league. Yeah, he's got the league dead to rights. He's a big winner.
He wins to everyone's chagrin. Let's take guess the lines because I want to talk baseball at the end because I have a couple baseball thoughts. Okay, so this is week 7. What's the what are the records? What do we got?
I have it here. I won by virtue of a house jumping in there. 2-2-2. I did
need a house. Drunk house.
Two wins, two losses, two ties. Week 7.
Thursday night. Got the Cardinals on Thursday night.
It's getting a little better.
This could be a Kingsbury last stand game.
I was looking at both these teams, looking at it's not that the coach is going to get fired for New Orleans, but it could be a loser leaves town playoff wise.
Yeah, that was a tough loss. The Saints seemed like they were in control of that whole game. I had for underdog parlay, Giants Saints and Giants Seahawks. Bengals ended up coming back. Had a
shot. Andy Dalton was
both.
Another one with 160 yards that could have won the game.
Yeah. So this game's in Arizona, which I think is great because I think if anything goes wrong, the Boo Birds are going to come out.
Right.
I think it's a 3-point line. I got cards by three.
That's exactly what I had. It's only two. Not trusting Arizona, Vegas just yet.
What a weird situation.
Yeah.
I mean, no outs with that quarterback. Would you want to trade for him? Would you be excited? Like, would you trade Dak Prescott for Kyler Murray if the contracts work?
I don't know. People getting excited about Hopkins coming back. I'm like, I don't know that there's a receiver that helps that guy. Now, Marquise Brown went down also, right? So
they
have to have something, but no, I'm big on homework.
Sunday marquee game. I don't have one.
We should mention the Bills, the Rams, the Vikings, and Eagles are off. That's a rough bye quad there.
And really rough for fantasy. This is there's going to be some dudes starting this week. Yeah, there's no great game. This was, should we call this the official pumpkin patch week?
Apple picking? Yeah.
Apple picking. Is this it?
I think this is it. We're getting close, right? It's the 16th. It'll be the 23rd next week. Yeah, this has got to be it.
Yeah, my daughter's got a Sunday morning soccer game. There's a 100% chance I'm going because I don't know what I'm missing out of these early games. I don't think there's a marquee game. I have three watchables. First one is Bengals-Falcons. The Falcons, every week, are just in entertaining games. Just over and over again, something's fun and the fourth quarter's always fun. The Bengals, what's their record?
Both teams 3-3, yeah.
It's like a pretty rocky 3-3. Really feels like they clawed their way to 3-3. Yeah. It feels like they're 3-4.
I would say Rocky 5. If you're
Rocky 5,
Rocky 5. Yeah, but the only thing I'll say is Chase did this last year, right? Where he broke out and then he just kept going. Yeah, like seven straight games where he broke out. So maybe they're there.
And Higgins came back today. I have the Bengals by 5.5 at home against Atlanta.
All right, I'm going to get this. I said 7. It's 6.5.
Okay.
This is a team that always covers Atlanta.
Well, it's getting silly now. Because I was going to bet them today, and I heard they were 5-0, which had only happened like twice in the last 10 years against the spread. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, they never can't remember a 6-0.
Right.
So they're going to go 7-0 against the spread?
It looks like it, yes.
Probably. You're taking the Falcons.
I don't know. I mean, Mariota, I think I came on last week. I was like, he's good for one mistake and that'll lose him a game, but they'll cover. And maybe he doesn't even make mistakes anymore. Such a weird team.
It's really sad that in both the leagues we're in, Pitts went for around the same price as Kelsey. And it got to the point today where he scored a touchdown. I think he was as surprised as we were.
Oh, he went nuts.
He was celebrating like he was like the left guard who caught the 1-yard play action pass. It was like, I spent $30 on you. Please don't be this excited for your first touchdown. Please get going, Kyle Pitts, for the love of God. Next game, it's in LA, Chargers-Seahawks. What do we think for Seahawk fans of this game? 40%?
Oh, how many?
40%?
Yeah, there's a lot out here.
Yeah, there really is.
Our friend Tall John will be there. I know a few, actually. Yeah. Yeah, 30%, 30, 35, 40, right in there.
Tall John will be there with his extra large jersey that only goes to his belly button.
Exactly. And no one he takes up 7 seats anyway. I mean, he's not a fat man, but he's very, very tall.
Tall John, one of the great nicknames.
Yeah.
He's not going to shed it anytime. He's like 6'8" for the people listening at home. He's tall and his name's John. So his nickname became Tall John. That's how it works. Although his nickname became Tall. Nobody even called him John. They just called him Tall.
Yeah, it was Tall. It wasn't TJ. It wasn't anything. Yeah. And I wonder if osteoporosis sets in, if we'll ever have to change it. But it'll always
used to be Tall John. We get in trouble talking about our friends.
I was just thinking that too. I'm not even going to mention him. I now have to think through.
Yeah, not mention him. Relationships have been ruined because this podcast. Not saying anything.
Talk to Bill's publicist if you have any problems with him talking about it. Oh, no.
Chargers, home for the Seahawks, and I don't think this gets to 7. So I'm going to say Chargers by 6.
All right, that's what I said. I'm glad you didn't say 6.5 because that's what the answer is.
I know the hammer will drop on Seattle, but I don't trust the Chargers ever giving this many points. I don't care what's going on.
Do you think every front office had at least one? Like, how many guys are in a front office? Like, between 15, 20 men and women who work for,
I think so,
like, the decision making? Every team had to have one person who presented a Geno Smith case, right? Like, here's Geno Smith. If you look at the times he's played, I had our stats guys run this model, and here's who he could be. And he's kind of like, I think he could be like kind of a poor man's Lamar, maybe even a little better than that.
Yeah,
and here's
no
the
one's
case.
Listening at that point.
He could be right. We get our quarterback for $2 million, and this person's just laughed out of the room. Teams.
Did you list him as a winner or the Seattle? Or
I did. I listed Geno. Right. Yeah.
75% completion, over 1,300 yards, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. You can't ask for more than that out of that guy.
I got to be honest. I didn't realize how complicated the Russell Wilson Seahawks fan thing was. Like, the fans, they liked the winning that he brought to the team, but they didn't really enjoy a lot of the Russell Wilson experience. And I think it was like having the family member that you have to pretend you like at Thanksgiving and Easter and Christmas, but you really don't like them. But it's like, hey, Uncle So-and-so, hey, how are you? Oh, but you deep down, you're like, I fucking hate this guy.
Yeah.
And now that's all coming out with the Wilson trade, and everyone's animosity is trickling out. Plus Geno is really fun to watch. And Geno kind of runs that offense the way they everybody wanted Russ to run it the last couple of years.
I didn't, because I got so few things right in the preseason, I'd like to brag about this. I didn't think he'd be that good, Russell Wilson. I didn't think he'd be this bad. But I was also like, oh my God, everyone's like, oh, what a great situation he's getting into going to Denver. Oh, Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton. I said, didn't people like Lockett and Metcalf? Don't they like those guys? What's wrong with them?
Remember them go for a lot of money in fantasy drafts.
Yeah, he doesn't run the ball. Anyone who watches, anyone who's had him on fantasy knows that there's no 2 or 3 design plays for him anymore. So he's just like anyone else at this point. Except,
well,
35.
There's definitely, I think with like quarterbacks, baseball closers, maybe what, and hockey goalies are probably the three where the next guy, the second wife syndrome steps in. Where if the next guy is remotely good, but you didn't really like the last guy, you really love the second guy. Isn't this great? Oh man, we just went on vacation. We didn't fight once. It's just so nice. I just had a great time. And that feels like this Geno Smith thing.
Yeah.
I think the Seahawks fans are delighted that Russell Wilson is gone. Last one for watchables, Chiefs 49ers.
That's it. We're done with watchables. That's so fun.
Yeah, and I don't even love this game. It's not like a barrel of laughs to watch 49ers. This is in San Francisco. I think the Chiefs are going to be favored. I have the Chiefs by 2.5.
Oh, I hit this exactly. 3. Full 3, Kansas City over San Francisco.
Man. I got to say, the Trey Lance injury.
Trey Aikman.
Trey Aikman was talking about. Now, the Trey Lance, it just would have been more fun if Trey Lance was their quarterback the last 6 weeks. I would have watched more 49ers. But Jimmy G, you're like, I don't need to watch.
It's the same thing. If the Cowboys defense was, you know, lost their top 3 or even Parsons for one quarter, they'd be in trouble too. So I think that's what we're seeing. Plus, they went east twice in a row. They're going to lose one of those probably.
Yeah.
They might steal this, San Francisco.
Fairly watchables. I got 5. First one is your team. I assume Dak comes back next week?
Yeah, I think so.
Against Detroit. I think a lot of people will be putting the Cowboys in teases and parlays. Lions coming off a humiliating 29-0 loss. I kind of like the Lions in this game.
Well, they're off a bye, too. So,
off a bye. Little kitchen sinkish. They're 1-4. 1-5 is probably a cross-off.
Yeah. You know what Dan Campbell's record is off a bye? It's like 33-2 or no, I don't know. It's not
it's like own one. I have Cowboys by 7.5.
Yeah, that's exactly what I had. So you can't get off of me, Simmons. I had it's 7.
Okay. I like the Lions.
Yeah, I mean, like I said to you, 4-2 is great if you take care of business against the Lions and Bears going into the bye. But this game scares me a little bit.
Next week, I'm going to tape the NBC halftime show and do a usage rate and time for each person, how long they talked.
Oh,
I think
why?
Today is was it, a new record. Stack? I think everybody talked for like 8 seconds on the show today. The halftime shows, somehow they're getting with the NBC show tonight.
Yeah.
They try to jam in all these people into like 3 minutes.
Oh, there's too many people. Yeah.
Too many people and there's like no time. It would be like if we had 9 other people on this podcast right now.
Right.
And we just had to zoom around for their cut and then go to a commercial. Mm-hmm. I'm taping next week. Next game. Titans, Colts. The Colts just play other AFC South teams every week, I guess.
Yeah.
Titans coming off a bye. Colts are just, how the Colts are 3-2-1,
I know. I
couldn't possibly
crazy.
Tell you. I couldn't
they
tell
almost
you.
Lost to Denver. They weren't scoring at all. That Denver could have put them away.
Taylor's out. The third string running back is better than Taylor. I don't know how it's happening.
Right.
Probably won some leagues. I have Titans by 3 in this game.
Yeah, you're going to get this one. I said, what did I say? I say, pick them. Oh, you get this. It's 2.5. Yeah.
Okay.
I had 1.5. Sorry. Yeah, you get
pick them.
No, I had 1.5. It's no.
I still
wait.
Win.
Did they play? Yeah, you win this one.
You throw whatever line you want. I won.
The Titans won this game in
yeah, they won 24-17. Yeah,
2 weeks ago. Oh, all right.
Another fairly watchables. A team that I've lost money on 3 weeks in a row. I might have to just keep going until I win. The Jacksonville Jaguars at home against the New York Football Giants, 5-1. Our beloved friend Brad had a Giants win, had the Yankees stave off elimination, and his favorite college team, Tennessee, beats Alabama all in the span of 24 hours. My question is he still alive? Did it kill him? Have we heard from Brad?
Well, it's funny you should say that because he threatened to pay for lunch. He wanted to get ribs at Corolla's Warehouse and he wanted a very special place that didn't deliver to Corolla's Warehouse. So he's like, I want to pay for lunch for everyone. And I was like, just, why don't we get here and you'll buy lunch? No. I have to have it delivered to my house and then come to the warehouse. I said, you have trouble transporting yourself, let alone yourself plus food. This isn't going to work. He's like, no, let's do it my way. 11:30. I'm like, hey, where are you? We're thinking about lunch. He's like, yeah, the guy never called me back. The guy, when you order food, is the guy never the called guy? Me back? Does that guy? Factor in at all? I was like, please get here. He's like, all right, I want to pay for lunch anyway. I was like, good, I'll order it. You could pay me back. He's like, okay, order a lot. I order a feast for 12 people. There's 3 of us or 4 of us plus Brad is coming. Guess who doesn't show up?
Brad?
Yeah, Brad. I'm on the hook for like $260 lunch. He's the best.
Jesus.
So there you go. Is he alive? I don't know. I don't know how to answer that.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Well, the Giants.
I'm off by 6 points in this spread. So you're going to get this unless you're off by
interesting.
6 points.
I had the Jags by 2.5.
Really?
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, it's the Jags by 3. Why is not the 5-1 Giants favored over the 2-4 Jags?
Because the analytics like the Jags.
That's so
I don't know.
Stupid.
These Jags, they're in every game. They've fucked up 3 games in a row, but they have a knack for just shooting themselves in the foot.
Why do we not see, I don't know if you even knew this, that the Jaguars are 0-13 in division on the road?
Is that true?
0 for their last 13. Yeah, that one is actually true.
I was super suspicious that line never moved. I didn't understand why they weren't favored against the Colts without Taylor. And the line just stayed at 1.5. And it was like a classic trap. There's a couple sites that I never really looked at this before, but I did this week. And now I'm kind of addicted where you can see the money, where the money goes for the different bets.
Right.
There were 2 overs today. And I couldn't believe it. One was the KC Bills game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it ended like 88% of the money was on the over in that game. Side I went to. And then the other one was the Cardinals-Seahawks game. And that was like 81%, something like that.
Over.
Both of those went way under for the
unders.
Both went way. So now I'm just wondering, do you just look at these sites and anytime there's 80% up on an over and under, you just go the opposite way because the public loses all the time?
I wish I had the tweet, but there was something where if 54% or more of the money is on something that it's losing at an astounding rate.
I remember that tweet. It was like, that's what made me start do this. It was like 33-17 when the money was 55% and up.
Yeah, why don't we do that instead of like all this opinion betting? By the way, did you see Saquon go down? That killed an over too. That game's going over if he doesn't slide at the three.
Oh yeah, he slid it. Yep. So Ravens are home for the Browns. This is at least a fairly watchable, even though we don't know what the hell is going on with the Browns. Yeah. The body language on their receivers was not great in this game. Mm-hmm. The Brissett, I think, is wearing out his welcome. Deshaun is still 6 weeks back. Away from comeback.
Well, this was supposed to be the game he came back, right?
Before with the initial suspension.
The Ravens. Yeah.
I got Ravens by 6.5.
We're going to split it. I said 5.5. It's 6. Mm. 2, 3, 4, 5. You called out 3, 6. I think it's 6-6. Okay.
Last fairly watchables. Broncos, Jets. You could have argued this actually might have been a watchable just because the Broncos are kind of a comedy watchable, not a fun football watchable. But I was surprised where I landed on this. Broncos by 3.
Yeah, you got it exactly. I said Broncos 2. Mm. I don't know. Still, 4-2 against 2-3. At this point, you could look at the records a little bit, right?
And the Broncos could be 2-4 after tomorrow.
Yeah, right. On a short week, I think the Jets have the better Wilson. I really do. I know. I don't think they're related, but...
Well, now they're saying Russell Wilson is hurt. He's playing with some injured shoulder that he played with during the game. It's like, well, if he was hurt, why did you go for it on 4th-and-1.5 and throw a slant pass with him? Why didn't you kick a field goal? Your quarterback's hurt? That makes it even dumber. I didn't think it was possible for you to be dumber, Nat Hackett, but your quarterback was hurt the whole game and you went for it on 4th-and-2?
Well, that's dumbass. So funny you say that because people like you and I are so excited to blame the whole Broncos demise on Nat Hackett, right? Or Nate Hackett, whatever. And then he says something stupid like, he has to disclose that Wilson's hurt. It's like, oh, we're going to split the blame with you and Russ. Now you're taking it back?
Yeah. He's like, there's not two morons here. I'm the only moron. Poop fact of 3 games. First one is Packers-Washington. I just don't want to watch Washington if I can. But I do like Brian Robinson. I think he's very unconventional for a running back, right? He's almost seems like a kick returner as a running back. The way he carries the ball in the wrong hand. He's tall and lanky. He's
like a little Eric Dickerson. He's
very unusual. This is in Washington, which
they had odds for him to win comeback player of the year
because
he got shot. He was really like one of the top 3 a few weeks ago, but then they took him out because a rookie can't win it. Like he's a rookie.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They took him out of all the run.
You can't come back from your first season.
Right. You came back from college. Yeah.
This is in Washington, which I think really helps the Packers because I think on the East Coast, all the Packer fans come out.
Yeah, so maybe.
I'm bumping this. I got Packers by 7.
Do we tie? I said 4. It's 5.5. We were both off by a point.
We tied.
Yeah.
And they put that in the
Packers
old Vegas
should
zone.
Lay points to anybody. Who do they need to lose to? They lost to the Jets and Giants and
not taking Washington.
Just another.
I bet on Washington on Thursday night. I parlayed them and the Pats.
Yeah, and so you won.
Well, they're up 5. They're up 5. And I was like, I don't want to bet on the stupid Thursday night game. 2 shitty teams Thursday night. Just to stay away. And then by 4:30, I'm like, Washington and the Pats, why not?
Right.
So Rivera, it's 4th down on the 31. They're up 5. There's like a minute and a half left.
Yeah.
And Rivera's like, I'm going to try a 48-yarder to go up 8. Right. And if I miss, Chicago hits the ball at the 40 and they can touchdown and wins it. This is really risky. Fuck it. I'm going to try it with my field goal kicker who's not even very good. And of course, he missed it. And it's like a slow motion car crash. These coaches, they invent new ways to be dumb. Mm-hmm. And in this one, it's just like, punt the ball, make the Bears go 90 yards. Fields couldn't go 90 yards and if you gave them an hour and a half. There's no way.
Right.
And of course, they miss. But anyway, they barely escaped. But I was so mad. Did. I was like, why did I bet on this?
Do you want to see, like, when I die, or you could do this, you should just pay, like, an analytics guy, like, I don't know, the $5 million a year or whatever you could afford. And just, don't you want to know, like, what your record is career-wise with missed field goals? Like, do you think your field goals that you needed your guys to make, whether it's betting or on your team, went through at a lower rate, much lower rate than the average? Because I feel that way about myself.
Yeah, I lost in week one. The Browns guy hit a 59-yarder, and I don't think he's come close to anything like that ever since.
Cade York? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the rest
Cade York, Browns have themselves a field goal kicker. Say, like, nah, actually, they really don't.
Right. Yeah.
Next poop-fecta game is Bucks-Panthers. The Panthers are just on permanent poop-fecta watch, and it feels like they'll waive Robbie Anderson. They'll probably trade DJ Moore. They'll try to trade McCaffrey. And if they're smart, they would trade Brian Burns for a first.
Mm-hmm. I was looking McCaffrey at the Rams tackling. The Rams were like, they put a good lick on McCaffrey today. And I was thinking,
yeah,
McVay might be like, hey, take it easy on him. He might be on our roster Wednesday.
Right?
Like, why not?
I'm hoping the Pats trade Aguilar and Damian Harris to the Rams for like 2028 first round pick or something.
Yeah.
Could see them doing that.
McCaffrey,
I had the Bucks by 8 over the Panthers.
Yeah, I was bad on this. I said 7. It's 10. Oh, 10.
That's stupid.
Well, they're far and away, and we haven't done this where we eliminate teams from the playoffs, but Carolina's out, right? Are we going to do that this year? Because Carolina's out.
I have the cross-offs. You want to do that now? I had inside information on this game. Brady's not practicing on Friday night because he's going to Shia LaBeouf's brother's bar mitzvah. It's in Kansas City.
Is that right?
Private jet, yeah. But he's gonna be in Tampa. Brady flies to New York on a Friday night. This guy used to be this incredible team guy. What happened to this? He's yelling at teammates. He does whatever the fuck he wants. This is exactly who he wasn't on the Patriots for like 20 years.
No, he was a team guy. You didn't want to see it. He was just doing it on the sly. He didn't let Belichick know. He just wasn't as public about it.
Cross off teams.
Yeah.
Are we crossing these teams off for 2022? Usually we do 6, but now there's so many playoff teams. Maybe we just need to get to 4. Carolina, cross off?
That for sure, the far and away the worst. I would have put them right there with the Steelers, but now they're at the bottom alone.
Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they end up with like 4 or 5 wins. Yep.
The Washington Daniel Snyders?
Only because that division's really solid now. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're a cross off. And then if we had to get to a 4th, the choices are Detroit, Pittsburgh, or Houston.
No.
I feel good about crossing off any of them, right?
We don't have to do that yet. We don't have to do that.
That's it. So it's just those 3.
Yeah. That's fine.
Okay.
That's low. Right. And it's funny. Who's the other 1-win team? Like Vegas is 1-4, but you're not crossing them off.
Yeah. They're actually talented.
Yeah. Okay.
That's speaking fine. Of Vegas, they are home for the Texans as our last poop-fecta game. And I have the Raiders laying 7 points to the Texans.
Yeah, you're going to beat me this week. You got it exactly. I said 6. Mm. This is the cross-off bowl. I mean, probably we could maybe get rid of one of them after this.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Cross-off bowl. Okay.
Yep.
Sunday night is kind of a lousy one. Dolphins Steelers. We should mention, I know I was sour grapes. I was really mad. The Bucks stuck it right up my yin yang today, but incredible job by Tomlin. I mean, yeah. Jesus Christ. Pickett looked, I thought, good, pretty good. Mm-hmm. Their defense was missing everybody. It didn't matter. They were harassing Brady. I don't know. I thought that was
They ran the clock.
Well coached game.
It was very Brady esque how they didn't give Tampa the ball back at the end. It was amazing. It's like, all right, he's going to have one more drive, right? No, it never came.
Yeah. Kind of a semi must win game for them. So now they're playing Sunday night. They're on the road in Miami. I assume it's going to be Bridgewater. I don't think we'll see Tua. And I have the.
You don't think we'll see Tua? I thought they said Tua's back for this.
Did they say that officially?
That's
going to be Sunday night. It's going to be a Tua concussion referendum for 3 hours. I'm surprised you're doing that.
Yeah, Tua and out of concussion playing 2 weeks. He's out of concussion protocol.
Okay, maybe we see Tua.
Yeah.
I got Dolphins by 5.5 over the Steelers.
That's what I had. That's what I had at 6.5. All right, okay. So you're going to win this week.
Oh, I beat you.
Well, maybe though, is that a teaser game? We don't even talk about teaser games anymore, huh?
Well, because I've lost the teaser every week. Yeah. But growing up or is my wallet growing out?
Yeah.
Monday night, your 2023 AFC representatives for the Super Bowl in Glendale, Arizona, the New England Patriots.
What's wrong with you?
Home for the Bears of Chicago. I'll tell you this. I think this line creeps up to 9 by Monday.
Wow. By Monday.
Yeah. Because I think people are going to be teasing the Pats. Because it's a Monday nighter. I'm going to say Pats by 7.5.
You had a good week. What a strong finish for you. It is exactly 7.5. I said 7.
Yeah, I think that goes to 9.
12-8, you win.
This is going to be a tough Justin Fields week.
Oh, yeah.
Belichick will be like, oh, cool. So you don't complete passes, really. Okay, got it. And then that'll be it.
I was going to say, what is his over-under for complete pad? Might be 9.5 this game. Just the way he rolls.
Let's take a break. I want to talk baseball, and then we'll do Parent Corner. This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do, too. I also know that lots of you exercise. But if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear. Especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori Clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local, wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons. This episode is brought to you by Burger King, which has the greatest commercial song I think I've ever heard. The ultimate hunger hack has arrived, my friends. BK's Royal Crispy Wraps. Choose from 4 bold flavors, classic, spicy, honey mustard, and the new, drumroll please, fiery buffalo. Oh yeah, I'm getting that one. They're only just $2.99 each because at BK, have it your way. You rule. Try Royal Crispy Wraps at Burger King, $2.99 each. Price and participation vary, U.S. only. All right, baseball playoffs. I watched a lot. I know you did too over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, kudos to them because the best of 3 in the first weekend I thought was a good idea. I think the playoffs this week were really fun. It's fun. I hate it at all. It's basically the playoffs are just drunk. You know, there's no rhyme or reason to it. But in a weird way, it's, I think, good for baseball. With that said, if you win 111 games and the other team wins 89 and it's a best of 5 and you lose one of the first 2 and now you have to go on the road for your life in game 3 and 4 in a fucking madhouse, like that, it just isn't enough of an advantage.
The inferior club has a better home advantage for some reason. The fans seem to be, those Philly fans are like, I've never, it hurts me to say that. That park seems so loud. So loud.
Honestly, would you rather have 2-2-1 if you're the favorite? Would you rather have 2-2-1 or would you rather have, we'll give you the first 2 games, give us the last 3 at home? I'd rather have the 2. We'll take the 3.
And it depends on that setup, how your pitchers are set up. But yeah, Garrett Cole on the road was pretty good tonight, right? So I think I might take your deal if I was like the Yankees or someone. Yeah.
It seems like if you're the 1 seed in either league, maybe it's a best of 5, but all the games are at home.
Mm-hmm.
That's the advantage. That's what you get for 6 months. We have whole season, and it has to be worth something. It can't just be worth, oh, cool. If there's a magical game 5 in my best of 5, that will be in my home stadium. That's not enough of an advantage.
Well, so,
I don't care. I don't care about the Dodgers or the Padres. I'm just saying, like, as a fan of sports, this is a stupid system.
here's why you're right, because the first series was three games and they appreciated that line of logic for that, right? The Mets had all three games at home. So they had the first series, the inferior teams are on the road for 100%. The second series, where you get bye teams, teams with over 100 wins, only get 60% of their games at home. Doesn't make sense.
It should either be best of seven or at least for the top seed. The being the best seed should be worth something. Now, the NBA used to do it this way and it was super fun. They used to have the first round was best of five. It was the 90s. It was super fun. Because if you if you could steal one of the first two, you had the next game three and four at home and you really had a chance. And I remember like there was a couple times where it hit. I remember there was one year, it was Phoenix when they had Rex Chapman and all those guys against Seattle. Yeah. And they had it. They split the first two. And it's like, oh, my God. And I used to like Seattle anyway. It's like, oh, my God, they're going to go back to Seattle. They're going to be able to actually upset the Suns because of this stupid system. And what did the NBA do? They changed it because why have this whole season to lead to this best of five where anything can happen? You don't want anything to happen in the playoffs.
First of all, congratulations, this is by far the longest you've waited to insert an NBA reference. I mean, an hour and 6 minutes is good job by you. Just phenomenal. But secondly, you're right. And everyone's going to say we're being snobs here about big market against small market. And believe me, I have like executive friends in the Major League Baseball on the East Coast who are ready to jump off the Throgs Neck Bridge if it's the Padres and Guardians in the World Series. But I'm not saying facts are facts. Like this is, of course, I'm saying everyone should play. If they keep winning, they should advance. They should keep playing. But it's not great for the sport if 412 wins between the Braves, Mets, Yankees, and Dodgers are out a week after the playoffs start, right? And there's 3 weeks left. It's not good.
It's just too hairy, and it's just not enough of an advantage. And they have to fix it. Either go best of seven. If the best possible outcome would be 150 games, regular season, and then just go best of five for you know, have more playoff games.
Right.
It's fine. But it's more fun. I mean, it was super. I loved watching the Padres game on Saturday night. I really genuinely enjoyed it. I don't care who won the series. It just seems crazy to me that the Dodgers can win 22 more games than them, that they beat the Padres 14 out of 19 times in the regular season. And then just because their bats go cold for two games, they have to go home. They're done. If that was the Red Sox, I would have gone fucking crazy. Honestly, I wouldn't have been able to do the podcast today. I'd be so upset.
But it's also, and it's very exciting. Look, there's nothing more. I've talked about this, how directors of baseball games in the playoffs should win Emmys, the way they you know, create all the drama, going to the fans and the players blowing on their hands because it's much colder. This game that's played the whole summer is all of a sudden now it's freezing and everyone's cold and the angry manager spitting sunflower seeds and there's no light moments. You don't see mascots anywhere dancing. It's really, really intense for 4 hours a night. And, you know,
or eight hours when the Mariners are in a scoreless 8-8 game.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing that bums me out is it's different. It's vastly different from what we watch in the regular season in that these pitchers, I've been betting pitcher outs. I think Caesars has pitcher outs. You could bet under like 17 and a half outs, like for Cole. So if he doesn't go six innings, that's a good bet. And like the Dodgers for sure is a good bet because Roberts pulls everyone long before they deserve to be pulled. Like Kershaw against Machado. Well, all right, he's coming out. It's like, why? It's the fourth inning. It's like, well, it's a lefty.
I have 70 relievers.
Yeah, it's a lefty-righty matchup. It's like, yeah, who cares? It's a lefty-righty matchup. This is Clayton Kershaw. Like, maybe just let's see. The guy yesterday, Anderson, had what? A two-hitter and they pulled him Saturday night? It's too much. It doesn't
resemble
baseball.
This comes to the aggressive analytics we talk about in the NFL. Like, the Padres guy in game three against your team, who just was lights out. Musgrove,
yeah.
He's throws a one-hitter, but if Roberts was his manager, he would have yanked him in the sixth inning. Be like, I have a chance to do a lefty-righty matchup. It's first of all, in a game with those kind of stakes, if my pitcher is getting everyone out, I'm keeping him in until there's a reason to get nervous.
Of course.
Like, the Dodgers, like, at least let me see a couple outs in the sixth before I'm bringing in all my relievers. And it's not like they were stacked with relievers anyway. I thought it was a classic overthink. I would not have taken him out. Nobody was hitting him. Sort of two fucking hitter. And right. if you're a Padres fan, you're like, oh, cool, you're going to take this guy out. Thank you. This is great. Please bring in relievers into this atmosphere. One of them's going to be scared.
Yeah, you're not going for it on fourth and one, Patrick Mahomes. Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bring it. Bring in the punt team.
And then the fucking Nationals who trade Soto.
Yeah.
And again, Bell. I had no dog. I was actually kind of deep down rooting for the Padres because I thought their crowd was really fun. And there were some shirtless guys in the crowd, which I enjoyed. Just said there's like a festive atmosphere. It seemed like kind of crazy.
Yeah, it was pouring rain or FLA.
Super fun. But every time Soto was up, I just thought he was getting a hit. He's so fucking scary. And you think like the Nationals had him, he's 25. And then they're like, well, let's turn him into seven prospects. Yeah. Awesome. Well, now you don't have Juan Soto anymore.
Oh,
you know, like the Red Sox. We don't have Mookie Betts anymore. Cool. We have Verdugo. Oh. Nice.
Harper, Scherzer, the list goes on and on, like with that team, who they scrapped since the World Series. But yeah, Soto scares me. Yeah. Opposite field, all those guys with opposite field power, those lefties are terrifying.
Well, fun National League, really fun home crowds for Phillies Padres. Both of those fan bases brought it. I think the Mets would have brought it too. And then you go into the other one where it could be Cleveland at Houston. I mean, nobody wants Houston. So I guess we have to root for Cleveland. Cleveland's a little frisky though. And they
do
got
we
a
want
good
to
bullpen.
Root for Cleveland? Do we want, or do we want, I mean, I we want.
I'm not really, I root for the Astros over the Yankees. No, the Yankees are the, I'm always rooting against the Yankees.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It'll hurt Yankee fans more if Houston beats them, right? Won't it?
No, it's worse if you lose a game five to fucking
Cleveland.
So? Oh, yeah. That's that you blow game five to the Guardians.
So where's your money right now? I mean, I'm holding an Astros 10-1 ticket, so I'm excited about that. But
oh, that's
like
a nice one.
They're plus 140 to win it all. Phillies are only plus 340. See, here's where the lines get screwy, but you can get the Yanks at 5-1 and the Padres at 320.
I like the Phillies batting order. It's like just guys who have professional at-bats, you know? Mm-hmm. Even Schwarber. It's not like Schwarber's lights out in the playoffs so far, but you just know it's going to be like 7-8 pitches. There's just like a certain rhythm to all those guys. Like they bleed counts. I just like watching it.
Yeah. Good small ball. Yeah.
What are the matchups tomorrow?
They announced the pitchers. I think it's Talian and Civelli. So it's not the Yankees are minus 156. Game. Yeah, exactly. These guys are going.
See, I would bet the Guardians because that's basically a bet against Aaron Boone.
Right.
And it's plus 132. Yeah.
Yeah. Take the plus, the rich plus money there.
Yeah, I don't just fix the thing. Fix the best of five. That's stupid. It should call it the Dodger rule, whatever.
Whatever they have to do for the Mets to get in. I don't know. Just
good
fix
college
it
football this weekend too. A little Tennessee upset.
I'm excited that you watched. That was great. Saturday was insane. There was good boxing too. You see Wilder, you see Shields, the woman fight. There's a lot of good stuff.
Well, the Wilder knockout. It really kind of felt like a dive. I was like slow-moing it, trying to figure out how he'd knock this guy unconscious, falling backwards with like, but I guess he has that much power. I don't know. I thought it was
a left. Because I looked for it too. Was it a left? Was it like a left cross? I was trying to figure out what it was.
It was like the Clay Liston punch.
Right.
I didn't understand how the guy was on his back, like seeing birds flying around him. It was like, I couldn't even see how he hit him. I think the boxing in 23 is going to be good. We got some good big money fights coming. All right, let's do Parent Corner. Today's Parent Corner is brought to you by CarMax. CarMax makes shopping for a car really, really, really easy because you can shop in your terms with no pressure. That's right, shop online or a store near you and get a 30-day money-back guarantee so you can see if the car works for you or you can return it up to 1,500 miles. See CarMax.com for details. CarMax. Car buying reimagined. Sal, you're on the clock.
All right, I got to find this now. So the Parent Corner is not going to involve my kids, but involves my mother to me, and that's a child parent relationship. If
that's
you're scoring at home, my mother texted me the other day. It's Thursday. It's right before the game, like the hour before the Thursday game. I'm getting all my bets in, trying to narrow it from 25 to 12 because I need to have as much action on the game as possible. And then I get from my mother. She sends me a text that says, because I love you, I have to share. And then it's this video, which I didn't watch. It's a YouTube video. And it says, diabetes and erectile dysfunction, healing the body with the right foods. Part one. So I guess there's a part two if I enjoy this enough. This is what she's sending me. She became a vegan at age 71. She's 76. And from then on, she's been a complete pain in the ass. Now, raised us on salty meats that you couldn't have
enough. She's Italian.
Italian. Yeah, she's actually Jewish, but might as well
Jewish.
Be Italian. Yes, but might as well be.
Married like an Italian.
Right. My Italian father's mother taught her how to cook. Everything was Italian cooking. And then, boom, I don't know what she, on Facebook, she saw all these plant-based this and that. God bless you if that's your thing, but it's not mine. And forever. And I tell her, I was like, look, when I'm 71, if I'm lucky enough to make it, I'll do this too. Give me 20 more years. Can you imagine all this erectile dysfunction thing she sends me? A grown man, I have to sit through this. And I say to my wife, I'm like, listen, you got to text her and say that Sal has no problem in that department at all.
With diabetes or ED?
Yes, of course. ED, ha, ha, ha. He is, and you know, be very graphic. But she's like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm like, please do that. So, but she won't. But anyway, mom, please stop sending me this. I'm not watching this video.
Why did she send you that? I don't understand that at all.
She thinks I'm going to get diabetes so if I keep eating. Yeah. Although I will say right before Halloween is a good time to send this if you're going to send it at all. I'm going to put down 75 mini Twixes in an hour.
My mom doesn't send me clips. She just sends me texts. Like today she texted me about The Watcher. It was really, really good. Very well done. The scariest part was Mia Farrow's face. There's a text. But I don't get
Is that a Jeff Ross text?
It felt like it.
Well, there you go.
Tell me a Pharaoh's face. My parent corner was I sent my daughter back to Boston.
That's it?
On Thursday by herself. Little test because she's going to school there next year. She flew. We dropped her off. Did the whole thing. Boarded the plane by herself. Landed. My dad's like, I'm going to pick her up. I'm like, no. But my dad and I actually got in a fight about it because he's like, just tell me when it is. I'm like, Dad, I want her to figure this out. This is really important. She's going to be in college next year. Let her figure out how to do this. Mm-hmm. So she figured out how to get from the airport to my dad's place, spent the whole weekend there. And then last night, she's out with the soccer team where she's going to play for next year. And they're celebrating win. And she goes out and she texts me and she's like, I think I'm going to, she had like a 11 o'clock flight the next day. She's like, I think I'm going to sleep over here and then go back to grandpa's in the morning.
Where's here? Sleep over where?
At the college place. So I'm thinking like, knowing my history with my daughter, who's, you know, late pretty occasionally. And, you know, she's a kid.
Right.
And my wife and I are like, this is a disaster. She's going to miss the plane. There's no way. She's going to set her alarm, wake up at 7:45, go to my dad's place, pack, and then somehow get her ass to the plane and get there in time. There's no way. 0% chance. It wasn't even like a 5%. It's like, all right, let's let her miss the plane. She'll learn a valuable lesson. So go to bed, wake up at, I don't know, like 6:50 because Murph's like wants to get fed. So, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if I got a text from Zoe. Get a text. I'm at the airport waiting to board. Really great night last night. And I'm
Good
thinking,
for you.
I'm thinking, she fucking did it. Got her ass to Boston, slept in some place and came back and packed and got and the whole thing. And I was just really impressed. I feel like it's like she passed some invisible test. Would you trust Archie to go cross country without any help and figure out everything and fly you?
No,
must, right?
I don't think I would. I don't think I think it's a coin flip that he makes it back. Even
so this
on the
is what
next
I was saying
flight.
To my dad. I was like, she's going to be in college in 10 months. She has to learn how to, like, you. It's almost like throwing Kenny Pickett out there. You got to learn how to navigate the Bucks defense. You got to, we're not going to know what a blitz is going to look like until you're under fire with one. So we did it. She landed. She came home at like 3:30 and was just like, did it.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. All right, as long as you don't find out she stayed at Jason Tatum's house Saturday night, I think you're good, right?
I'm not ruling that out, but, well, she isn't 18. I mean, that would be probably illegal.
Oh, that's
but,
okay. I'm sorry. I thought she was 18. Terrible.
No, but I was very proud of her.
Good. Good job by you, Zoe.
It's funny how fast they grow. Because I would say even a year ago, inconceivable, she could have gone to Boston and back.
Would she be have been upset with herself, and or would she have been like, oh, whatever, I'll take the next flight. What does it cost? Another $100 change or whatever. What? How do you think she would have been?
I don't know. I would have made her navigate
really
it.
Maybe she really stepped it up. Good.
Would have made her navigate it. All right, that's it for Parent Corner. Today's Parent Corner is brought to you by CarMax. If you're looking for the perfect car for you, well, CarMax has thousands of quality certified cars for you to choose from. They spend hours replacing parts and detailing them to make your car feel like new. And then they give each one a final quality check. So shop at CarMax and get extra peace of mind when you buy your next car. Learn more at CarMax.com. CarMax, car buying reimagined. All right, Sal. Also, I watched all 7 episodes of The Watcher.
On Netflix. Like it?
It was watchable. They should have called it The Watchable.
That's what I thought the joke was. Yeah. Wow. All right, yeah. Maybe I'll watch. Well, that doesn't sound like a ringing endorsement, but I just got done with Dahmer. I got done with Dahmer.
Oh, you did it? You did Dahmer?
Yeah, I did Dahmer. You saw it too?
Oh, of course.
Did you like it?
Serial Killers? I liked it. I thought it was 2 episodes too long, but I liked it.
Yeah, there was some flimsy episodes in there towards the end. But yeah, I think I would have loved it if it weren't a true story. If it were just made up, I would be like, oh my God, this is great. They did a fantastic job with this, but it is some freaky shit that really went on.
I just don't feel like I would fall for the, I just have some bad pork chops in the fridge. My fridge stopped working. Because the follow-up question is, well, why don't you take the pork chops out of the fridge, you fucking weirdo?
Yeah, right.
Right? Nobody asked that. Like, bad pork chops. Yeah, that's a tough break. And then, you know, it's this overwhelming rotten stench.
Yeah, it definitely shouldn't have worked 3 times.
Yeah, like every single person. Just pork chops.
I probably would have come over and helped eat the pork chops and then been disappointed. But yeah,
well, we got White Lotus coming.
Are you going to watch it with just her? She was great, but I missed the manager. He was the best, wasn't he?
I trust the franchise.
Okay.
I think it's going to be good. Right. I'm excited for it. What do you got to plug this week?
We got, the Extra Points Podcast Network. Get all your sports gambling needs there. Against the Odds, -3, Megan Fun of Sports, Covered in Glory, Waiver Wired, Lemon Pepper Parlay. We have Terrell Davis on, Brian Scalabrini, and we have our NIL scholarship recipient on later in the week. So there
you go. That's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to give a new one every week, a few $100. See what happens.
Yeah.
And I'm avoiding erectile dysfunction. That's the main
diabetes.
The main focus of this week.
All right, guys. Good job by you.
Good job by you.
All right, that's it for the podcast. Thanks to Kyle Creighton for producing as always. Thanks to Steve Cerruti and Dylan Berkey as well. I will see you on this feed on Tuesday.